Open our Bibles once more into the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll read what we might say is the second section of this of the chapter from verse 18 to the end of chapter 1. Matthew 1 at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Here is God's word so far, again seeking his blessing upon it. In a moment we'll come to study in God's word and from this name Jesus, but let us first pray to our God. Let us pray together. all of us, O Lord, even to the youngest here, has heard this story and parts of it so often. And we've come to the place of almost expecting it. Help us to see how unexpected it really was. How unexpected so much of your work is. Whether it be that moment of Balaam with his donkey and the angel of the Lord, or this moment that Joseph was looking to resolve a great dilemma, and you came to tell him that there was the greater trouble, the central trouble of man. It was to be answered that man does have a way of deliverance, that after many generations even of your own people who had heard the promises time and again, and as the story further unfolds and King Herod was sitting on his throne, the startling news that there was one born to be king of the Jews. We confess, Lord, that your way is a high way, a way that is beyond our natural understanding. We plead with you that we will have our eyes opened too, to see and to hear, and as you have directed us, that we would be as Joseph, who has gone before us and did as the Lord commanded, that we will receive this Jesus, that we will believe in him, that we will believe and know that he is the one, not only who was born, but lived and died and rose again, that we might know salvation from that true problem, our own sin, and the pride of our own hearts. And grant, Lord, that at this very time that there will be a preoccupation with the purpose of this Jesus, not simply to be born, but to die, that we might be saved, that we might be saved. Oh Lord, grant that there would be hearts awakened, that one without fault. What have you ever done to us, O Lord? Have you not carried us day after day, century after century? Have you not carried us? What have you ever done to us but loved us? That we might take this, Lord Jesus, the culmination of your love, that we would receive him as he is, see him as he is, lifted up, high and holy, but looking upon us with great favor, that we might receive his lordship. Where there are so many other ways of life that we find attractive, that we will ask him, and in this too, as with the prophet, to find ourselves unable to do anything but what you have spoken, the words that you give us to speak, the lives that you give us to live, those works that you have prepared beforehand that we might do them as those who are delivered from aimlessness, emptiness, by the very precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that this will be the mighty word that spreads forth today. Pray for various services that different gatherings will administer, will hold, will open in the next week. There too, the word of truth will be found. That men might not be satisfied just with the baby, but only when they know his story. Pray for this around the world, that it will be that light that was promised, that was recognized by your faithful people, those whose hearts and minds were open to the direction of the Spirit. That light will be found, as there are so many throughout the world under darkness. There are many who are so troubled in West Africa still with illness and the Ebola virus and the darkness that that brings. We commend to you all who are laboring, still laboring, serving. We pray, because there are fears that there will be a sudden increase again. We ask, Lord, that you would help those in position and with skill to be able to counter that. We again continue to remember, Lord, the places where there is the darkness of conflict and violence and death, sudden death, brutal death. We pray for those who perpetrate that, they might be halted in their steps, that their arms that lift the guns and the weapons will be deadened and unable to work, but that their hearts might be seared by the light of healing of their God in Christ. Pray for those who are afflicted by immediate encounters such as the deaths in New York overnight. We pray for those, the families of those who have died. Again, we pray for those who have inflicted such death, that they might be drawn to their senses, be awakened, and even transformed in heart. So too we pray for the recent troubles, whether it be in Australia, in Sydney or in Cairns. We pray for the families involved. We pray for the Pakistan and the devastation that was wrought through this past week in the school. We commend to you, O Lord, the hearts that are so troubled that they should inflict such suffering, that they might be transformed by the love, even the love of those that they have caused to suffer. Also those in Ukraine and Syria, in the central parts of Africa, so many troubles, O Lord. We pray for the places where there is severe corruption, where there are many who will look after themselves and neglect the needy. Grant, Lord, an awakening of man's heart to receive of your mercy, and having freely received, to freely give. And so again, as we would continue in worship, we can set ourselves before you, and may this be found among us also, that as you grant us such riches with the gospel of Christ, not of our doing, not of our deserving, but all on account of your mercies, that we will not lose heart, but we too will freely give, mindful of the great needs around us, and that greatest of needs that leads not only to sickness and ill health, nor to just the death of the body, but the great darkness, everlasting darkness of the soul. May your word be upon us, we pray, a word of power and of light and blessing, and the life that comes in our Redeemer, God with us, Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. We'll also sing together before we open God's Word again, and we'll sing in God's Word at Psalm 51, page 67. Starting on page 67, and we'll sing through from the beginning to verse marked 12. Psalm 51, page 67, verses 1 to 12. Great psalm of confession and of confidence. O my God, have mercy on me in your steadfast love, I pray. In your infinite compassion, my transgressions wipe away. Cleanse me from iniquity. Wash my sin away from me. And we'll sing through to verse 12. Give me back the joy I had. Keep my willing spirit glad. Psalm 51, let's stand again to sing.
Oh my God, have mercy on me, in your steadfast love I pray. In your infinite compassion, my transgressions wipe away. Cleanse me from iniquity.
Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I want to talk about Christmas this morning. I want to talk about war. And that's not a very common combination, perhaps. I want to talk about war because through this past year there have been a huge number of events and books and articles all about the opening year of what has been called the Great War, World War I. Perhaps the latest spate of events has been relating to what's been called the Christmas Truce, the football match that was played in no man's land on Christmas in the first year. And very clearly, the soldiers couldn't see a connection between Christmas and war. They disconnected. They didn't want to be fighting on Christmas. But it would also seem to say that they weren't aware of just how serious it all was. You may have heard the reports are that in the early months of the war, 100 years ago, folk were going about assuring one another that it'll all be over by Christmas. The government was perhaps important in getting that message out, but it was taken up by the people. It'll all be over by Christmas. But we know, don't we, that the war was not over by Christmas. It had another 3, almost 4 years still to run. It wasn't over because of the dangers of running away, walking away from it. Because there was thought the possibility of winning by persevering, not giving up. And that was all because it was reckoned that there was more worth fighting for. And so it wasn't all over by Christmas. And it seems that whichever way you look at it, there's a lot of things that it can tell us about Christmas. If we think of Christmas as the birth of our Lord Jesus, the very reason for it at all, it would not have been if it was not for the truly great war. There's a lot of academic discussion about the merits and the demerits of the war of 1914 to 18, but you might sum it up by saying men were fighting after all, it was about good and evil. But if it was about good and evil, how much more Christmas was about good and evil? Christmas marks the birth of this baby, the baby who was to be called Jesus. The Christmas festivities tell us he was Jesus. Why was he Jesus? For one reason only, because he would come to save his people from their sins. His people from their sins. Our sins. And sins are evil. Sins are our evil. That's why he was called Jesus. That's why he was born. He was announced as peace on earth in Luke chapter 2. That was a new name. Since there was no true peace on earth between men and between man and God. So this child was born to come into a world in conflict and to redeem this world. But surely it doesn't take a genius. How many of us are geniuses? But it doesn't take a genius here to know that it needs more than a baby in a manger to resolve the trouble of this world. and the troubled world that we have produced by our evil hearts, our sin. It needs action on a massive scale to bring about a recovery, a transformation. For a Saviour to be just born and then forgotten, for that to be all there is to it, it would never be enough. In 1914, there was a small expedition went out first, an expeditionary force, and it was not enough to win the war. The beginning was not enough. The start of those hostilities in World War I is not the whole story. There was a whole chain of events and factors beforehand that led to it. There was a long way to go after that first August. How many of you knew that that war began, or remembered that war began in August in 1914? How many of you remembered the date it began? War was declared. But how many of you would remember Remembrance Day? 11th of November. Remembered every year. Why? Because it was the cessation, the end of hostilities. The armistice was signed. The war was over. And we remember it every year. It's far more significant than just the beginning of the war. Many much more significant events. Yes, it had to start for those events to come about. The most significant thing of that war, though, was the dreadful loss of life. A number of young men went out eagerly to fight for their country, for their families, for their loved ones. What did they go and fight for? And that question comes concerning the beginning of this, the birth of the Lord Jesus, the first Christmas. It is so like that beginning of the war that was not all over by Christmas. In the same way, the birth of Jesus is just a small part of the story. Yes, it's necessary. It's the beginning of the story as he came on earth. We confessed in the Creed, incarnate, became body, took body to himself. That's necessary. It's the beginning, but it's only the beginning. And it's terribly incomplete, unfinished, without the rest. And in fact, it turns out to be quite mindless for all the attention to fall on Christmas and to forget the rest. With the rest of the Gospel, this is in chapter 1 of Matthew, and there are 28 chapters in the Gospel that give us the rest of the story. And give us the purpose why he was born at all. There are other places too. Let me just remind you of the opening of the Gospel of Luke. Before Jesus was born, in chapter 1, there was Zacharias. He was the father of John, who became known as the Baptist, John the Baptist. And he had a few things to say about this coming child of Mary. And he tells us, he prophesied the word of God, why Jesus would come. In verse 68, he is coming to visit and to redeem his people. In verse 69, he would be a horn of salvation for us, the horn being the Old Testament symbol of strength representing the people. Verses 74 to 75 tells us that he would deliver us from the hand of our enemies so that we can serve him. And in verses 77 to 79, he is coming to give knowledge of salvation, remission of sin, to give light, verse 79, to those who sit in darkness, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's more than a baby can do. He couldn't do any of these things. the story is much more than the baby. So much more. And as you might know, something of the gospel story. Jesus had to live his life. He had to grow. He had to mature. He had to become a man. He had to obey in life. He had to learn obedience. He had to die. He had to be born for all that. Don't get me wrong, it's not that Christmas is not important. It most certainly is. It's the essential beginning. But it is important because it was never meant to be on its own. It's only the beginning. God set out to save his people, to save us from the devastation and the power of our own sins. And it did begin at Christmas. At least among us it began. He took flesh and lived among us. It began there, but it's a long way from being finished there. He entered into this conflict, good and evil, the war, the great war. He entered into it. Remember, from his birth he was faced with evil. The next chapter of Matthew tells us of King Herod trying to kill him as a baby or a toddler. He grew up, he faced the usual hazards of little boys, teenagers, young men. When he entered his ministry, Satan tried to throw him off the path with desperate temptation. Shortly after that, he went to his own hometown and they tried to kill him. The religious leaders, for 3 years, from the moment that he appeared in public, they plotted to kill him. And he didn't let go once. He continued the battle. He served in the war with the full knowledge that it was death alone that waited for him. And so he was killed. The righteous for the unrighteous. Good for evil. It was the wicked men. Not just the wickedness in abstract, but the wicked men of all the world who killed him. Yet he died for our sins. He had none himself. He died as we deserve to die. But he came specifically to die for that very purpose. But you know as well as I do, that was not a Christmas. Did anyone see, whether it was on television or with your own eyes, did you see the poppies that were planted around the Tower of London? I'm sure you saw pictures at least, if not face to face. Jan, obviously we saw her. We know that she saw them. She was working with them. But most people who have seen them, it was the scale of the numbers that impressed most. 888,246 are recorded as having died from one nation in that war, 1814 to 1818. Great loss of life. Men who died. And they died, and people value their death because they regard it was a significant contribution to the way that we live now. An important part that they fought and died for freedom. But not theirs. They died for the freedom of others. And so did he. But his was so much more, wasn't it? They died, and it was a brief reprieve. We might be granted a measure of freedom for the term of our natural life. But our natural lives are so brief. And that's at best. And he did so much more. He died too. A great loss of life. The righteous, the innocent, for the guilty. And he died to take away evil altogether. Not just in the body, but also in the soul and the spirit. he died. But the story doesn't there end there either, does it? Does their story end there? Do we remember them? But his so much more. He surpassed death. He lives again. That's why Sunday is the great celebration of the Christian church, not just once a year, but every week. It is the test, the acid test. It is the litmus test of how we view our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his day, the Lord's day. Only then was his story, the Christmas story, only then was it complete. When he rose again, which guaranteed his ascension shortly after, guarantees that he will return again. Ask, what does Sunday mean to you? How do I use it? How do I respond to his death, his resurrection? It is the great day. It is the complete story in one day. Do you see in this day the full meaning of salvation, of this peace that he came for, of this love of our God, this eternal, everlasting love? Sunday is the day that tells us of this. Christmas begins the story. Christmas alone does not tell us those things. It is good to have folk coming to church at Christmas and at Easter. But it reminds me, if we're talking about the war of 1914, it sets me thinking of the crowds that would go down to Southampton, and the military transports would be going out and they'd be waving to one another. Yes, we'll see them off. And then go home and completely forget them. Go about it as though there's no war going on. That's what it's like, just to take Christmas. It's good to have folk coming. But the whole story. We can't be like those who stay home as though all is well with the world, because it isn't. Put it another way. You know how little children, and we were all little children once, you have a favourite storybook that you discover somewhere in life as a little one, and you, mum and dad, they read it to you. And it's so enjoyable, you want it every night. The same story, night after night. Open the book, turn the pages, read the story. And if you are a little bit tired that day, mum or dad, and you skip over a little bit, no, you've missed something. It's got to be word for word. Every little bit of the story has to be there. And it's a favourite story, never getting tired of it. That's this story. And it's not complete unless we have every little bit of it. But as we get older and as we go on and we become more cynical, and the world is more cynical, it wants to gloss over, oh yes, Jesus, Christmas, okay, that's it, and let's move on. It's not the story. None of us can afford to miss the least detail of this story. And this one is the one that does matter. It matters too because every one of us can share in his victory. We perhaps might say that in that the eventual conclusion of that war in 1918, if there was a victory of any kind, there were people who could share in it, who didn't fight in it. We can share in his victory. It is a lifelong battle with evil and sin and pain and suffering, grief, worry. But he conquers these things. But only if we have the whole story. Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus, he was born. But that meant and means nothing unless he also died. He had to live and die for everyone who will trust in him. But trust in him as the one who did redeem, who did bring light, who did deliver. And that story was nowhere near over at Christmas or by Christmas. This war was far from over at Christmas. And our story will never be over or complete if we only take Christmas to our hearts. And that's not even a true Christmas. It's ignoring what Jesus means. It's not Christmas as it was meant to be. If you go to places such as Paul summarizing the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he doesn't even mention the birth of Jesus. Because Jesus was born aiming from the moment he breathed first out of his mother's womb, he was aiming to die. That's the gospel according to the scripture. Let him be born in our hearts. Much as he was newborn that first Christmas. But let him be born that he might live and die for you. It was that little child. One day, about 33 years later, he said to one of his friends, couldn't have said it when he was in the manger, but he said it then, 33 years later. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And it was Mary, another Mary, who gave the answer that the truth of Christmas demands from every one of us. "Do you believe this?" he said. "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is," you might say, "at Christmas, to come into this world." But it was about his death, about his resurrection. But if you believe in him, all of him, not just the baby in the manger, believe in him, you will never die. It wasn't all over at Christmas. Let's tell the world that takes Christmas and moves on. Let it never be so for any one of us. It wasn't all over at Christmas. But it was all there, ready at Christmas, in Jesus. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. She brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let God's word be among us and in our hearts. May he grant blessing to follow today. Let us pray together. Lord, amid all the festivities, we would be impressed with the eternal magnitude and the solemnity, as well as the great, great unspeakable joy in your own heart and in your presence. We would not be satisfied with the small things of this world. hear again your promise. Where we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we will be satisfied. But this will be our longing. And this will be the preoccupation of our days. That all that we are engaged in, we will see and we will color. With this greater reality that he has brought among us. But after waiting and waiting and waiting many a year, he came. But if he has come, that we too, as the apostle said, have no excuse but to hold to him with no exception, but to find our life and its fullness in him alone. Pray that you will be our guide as we go on through today, through the days that are before us. We have planned many things. But draw us back from those that are not glorifying to you, not according to your will. May we heed the speaking of your Spirit to us and calling us again and again to this one who gave himself, loving us, even to taking on him the form of a servant, humbling himself even to the death of the cross. And that in our hearts too, even now, you will highly exalt him, that his name will be above every name. Our knees will be bowed to him, ready for that day when it will be found in all the earth. We ask these things, O Lord, and pray that you would hear us confessing our sin, seeking your pardon. Take it from us, we pray. Keep us from evil in the ways before us. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us close by singing together some exalting the King of that the Lord has appointed to his people, Psalm 21, page 24. We'll sing through to verse 7. Lifting up this prophecy of our Lord Jesus himself, the Son of God, the King of the Jews. May he also be ours. O Lord, in your strength, how the King is exultant. How great is his joy in the triumphs you bring. Verses 1 through to 7, let's stand to sing together.
O Lord, in your strength, how the King is exalted, how great is his joy in the triumphs you bring. To him you have granted his heart's deepest longing. You answer the plea from the living.
May the Lord grant us his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.